Nobody wants to give a fella a ride in town, the old man with the truss had said, and how true that was. I walked all the way across Lewiston, 3 dozen blocks of Lisbon Street and 9 blocks of Canal Street, past all the bottle clubs with the jukeboxes playing old songs by Foreigner and Led Zeppelin and AC/DC in French, without putting my thumb out a single time. It would have done no good. It was well past 11 before I reached the Demuth Bridge. Once I was on the Harlow side, the first car I raised my thumb to stopped. 40 minutes later, I was fishing the key out from under the red wheelbarrow by the door to the back shed, and 10 minutes after that, I was in bed. It occurred to me as I dropped off that it was the first time in my life I'd slept in that house all by myself. It was the phone that woke me up at 12:15. I thought it would be the hospital. Someone from the hospital saying my mother had taken a sudden turn for the worse and had passed away only a few minutes ago. So sorry. But it was only Mrs. McCurdy, wanting to be sure I'd gotten home all right, wanting to know all the details of my visit the night before. She took me through it 3 times, and by the end of the 3rd recitation, I had begun to feel like a criminal being interrogated on a murder charge, also wanting to know if I'd like a ride up to the hospital with her that afternoon. I told her that would be great. When I hung up, I crossed the room to the bedroom door. Here was a full-length mirror. In it was a tall, unshaven young man with a small potbelly, dressed only in baggy undershorts. "You have to get it together, big boy," I told my reflection. "Can't go through the rest of your life thinking that every time the phone rings, it's someone calling to tell you your mother's dead." Not that I would. Time would dull the memory. Time always did. But it was amazing how real and immediate the night before still seemed. Every edge and corner was sharp and clear. I could still see Staub's good-looking young face beneath his turned-around cap, and the cigarette behind his ear, and the way the smoke had seeped out of the incision on his neck when he inhaled. I could still hear him telling the story of the Cadillac that was selling cheap. Time would blunt the edges and round the corners, but not for a while. After all, I had the button. It was on the dresser by the bathroom door. The button was my souvenir. Didn't the hero of every ghost story come away with a souvenir? Something that proved that it all really happened? There was an ancient stereo system in the corner of the room, and I shuffled through my old tapes, hunting for something to listen to while I shaved. I found one marked Folk Mix and put it in the tape player. I'd made it in high school and could barely remember what was on it. Bob Dylan sang about the lonesome death of Hattie Carroll. Tom Paxton sang about his own ramblin' pal. And then Dave Van Ronk started to sing about the cocaine blues. Halfway through the 3rd verse, I paused with my razor by my cheek. "Got a head full of whiskey and a belly full of gin," Dave sang in his rasping voice. "Doctors say it kill me, but it don't say when." And that was the answer, of course. A guilty conscience had led me to assume that my mother would die immediately, and Staub had never corrected that assumption. How could he when I had never even asked? But it clearly wasn't true. "Doctors say it kill me, but he don't say when." What in God's name was I beating myself up about? Didn't my choice amount to no more than the natural order of things? Didn't children usually outlive their parents? Son of a bitch had tried to scare me, to guilt-trip me. But I didn't have to buy what he was selling, did I? Didn't we all ride the bullet in the end? You're just trying to let yourself off, trying to find a way to make it okay. And maybe what you're thinking is true, but when he asked you to choose, you chose her. There's no way to think your way around that, buddy. You chose her. I opened my eyes and looked at my face in the mirror. "I did what I had to," I said. I didn't quite believe it, but in time I supposed I would.